I would never call unto me people that are heavy laden and that are weary. I would call to me people that are strong, that have wealth, that have feel like they have purpose, they have a sense of purpose, and that they are accomplishing something. But yet Jesus says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. The people that are weary and heavy laden are mostly a baggage. They are mostly the kind of people that whine, that groan, that are dissatisfied, that are complaining, that have got no hope. These are the kind of people that Jesus Christ says, come to me, all ye. And the Bible says, all of them people. All of them. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, that are weary, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. Take my yoke and learn from me. Now today we are going to look at these works of Jesus Christ and by the grace of God be able to just learn from him. As he says to us, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. And I don't know about you, but there are seasons in my life when I am heavy laden, when I am whining, when I am complaining, when I am groaning, when I do not have peace, when I am noisy and annoying. And I'm stressed up and I feel like, man, I'm carrying all this baggage on my shoulder and I don't know what to do. Jesus Christ says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest in your souls. But you see, there is something interesting that he says there. He says, I want to switch out my yoke with you. Which means that when we are coming to him all laden and all weary and all, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to take away everything from us and leave us to go empty-handed. He says, I am going to swap it out. I'm going to give you another baggage. And another thing to carry, another thing to bring alongside with you. You see, because for God, it is not the baggage that is the problem, it is the lesson that will proceed from the carrying of the light baggage. He says, I'm not going to take away these things. I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to, if my child is crying like he was earlier today, and he's crying because he's trying to figure out this toy. And you know what? I can take out the toy from his hand and fix it and then give it back to him. But then sometimes I simply say, figure it out. I don't take the toy from his hand. I can fix it halfway and let him finish the rest because I know that there is a lesson that I want him to derive from being able to continue carrying this baggage that is lighter than the baggage that they originally had. So Jesus says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, come to me, all ye that are carrying baggage, come to me, all ye that are stressed out, come to me, all ye that have got issues in your lives, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke and learn. Take my yoke and learn. In other words, we are not being left like that. He's saying, I am going to fix the toy halfway and you're going to do the rest of the work because there's a lesson that I want you to learn from being able to fix that toy. He says, I'm not going to just take away the toy and fix it for you so that you have nothing to do. I want you to learn from me. It's a very, very interesting statement. He says, I want you to take my yoke and learn. Because you see, if he takes away everything, then we will never be able to learn. If he takes away everything, then we will not be able to grasp the lesson that Jesus Christ wants us to grasp. He says, take my yoke and learn. See, we all have got yokes that we are pulling. We all have got baggages that we are throwing. We all have got issues that we are carrying with us. You see, if you can go to the next slide. We all have got a yoke. And Jesus Christ is aware of what we are carrying. He's aware that we are he's not being surprised or shocked that you see, oh my goodness, they have this thing they're carrying. He's aware of it. And then he allows us to continue carrying something. He just swaps it out with us so that we have a lighter yoke, but we still remain with a yoke because there's a lesson to be learned. If you want to come with me to the book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 12 and 13. Go to the next one. Or maybe not that one. Maybe not that one. That one. Sorry.
This one.
The other one. That is better. The Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Jesus Christ is aware that you're carrying a yoke. He's aware that there is something that you're bearing. He's aware that some circumstances and challenges in your life are coming your way. And some of them, he says, he allows them, but he will never allow something that you do not have a capacity to withstand. Now, I want to say a statement here, guys. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is simply the breath of God. In fact, He breathed it into being. He breathed the Word into being. Because you see, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's the breath of God. The very breath that you breathe within you is the same breath that it makes the Scriptures. Which means that everything that he has written down, he stands by it, he confirms it, and he affirms every single part of what he has written. The things that are written in the Scriptures, some of them are history, but then they have a very, very powerful ramification in your future and in your today.
Amen.
It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God, the very breath of God, these Scriptures. And he says, listen, no temptation has overcome you, which means nothing has come your way yet. Nothing will come your way in future. Nothing has ever come your way that you do not have the capacity to withstand. He says that you have the capacity, number one, but not only that, but he also provides a way out for you just in case. He says, I'm going to swap out my yoke. I'm not going to leave you without a yoke. I'm going to leave you with a piece of a yoke. But you see, the piece that I'm giving you is much better than what you have. Historians, you see, Jesus Christ was the son of a carpenter. For the first 30 years of his life, he lived with a father who was a carpenter. We all know that being a preacher, I like it when my children preach. It's just weird. I have this video of Caitlin when she was 2 years, and she was like, praise Jesus, and she was preaching. And that gives me, because you see, I was raising her as a child. She ministers right now when she goes to school. Everywhere that she goes, she's able to share the gospel and speak to people because her father is a preacher. When you are a carpenter, you raise your child to be a carpenter. And especially in the time of Jesus, everybody was raised according to the craft that they lived, that they had within their household. In fact, in that time, if you were, say, to travel the way I was in Kansas, there were no hotels, there were no Airbnbs. You know, if you show up in a city, all you needed to do is find somebody that does what you do. That is why when Paul goes to Corinth, he finds Priscilla and the husband and they are tent makers, and he goes to live with them and brings such an impact in the lives of these two that they begin being ministers of the gospel. They start churches in their home. Everywhere they went, they started churches because that's their craft. Jesus Christ was raised a carpenter. Now, history, like post information outside of the Bible, says that the father, Joseph, was a carpenter and he specialized in making yokes.
Okay.
His specialty was making yokes. He was a carpenter. He cut down trees and he made yokes out of them. Jesus Christ says, come to me. Take my yoke from me. Because my yoke is light and my yoke is smooth and my baggage is light. Listen to me. He knows what he's talking about. He knows how to make a yoke that will fit your shoulder perfectly. He is a carpenter. He's grown up doing, making yokes. Now, I know it's hard for you to really wrap your mind around this. I'm from Africa. We still use yokes. We still use animals to plow land. And so, when we're making yokes, when you put a yoke that is too big on an animal, the animal will not do the work effectively. If you put one that is too tight, it's going to choke the animal. You have to make a yoke just right for each and every specific heifer that you have. So he says, I am going to make a yoke that fits you perfectly. I'm going to give you a yoke that is not going to be too tight to choke you, that is not going to be too big to be a burden. I'm going to give you a yoke that fits just right, because my yoke is light and my burden is light. He says, I'm going to swap it out. He says, I know what you're going through. It is hard, but I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to leave you with a piece of it, because I know that I want you to learn. I want you to learn. There's a lesson that comes from this particular challenge that you're going through. There is a lesson that comes from this particular trial that you're going through, which means that it is not in vain that you're struggling financially. It's not in vain that you're struggling with an addiction. It's not in vain that you're struggling with mental challenges. It is not in vain. There is a lesson that he wants you to learn through that. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. You see, the power is in us going to him. You see, many times we all struggle because it is very difficult for us to give our yoke to Jesus. Because many times we are so used to trouble, we are so used to a baggage that we've learned to survive. That is why you go around and hear people saying, you know what, my stomach starts exactly at 6 p.m. You see, they're so used to it, they don't see that it's an anomaly. They don't see that it's something that is not supposed to be. And unless you understand that the yoke you're carrying, you ought not be carrying it, you will never swap it out for a better one. It is time that we begin understanding, man, this is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be going through these things that I'm going through the way I'm going through them. You know, I'm not supposed to be falling in the same way, in the same particular way. I'm not supposed to be going through the same challenge over and over and over again. And every time I fall down on my stomach. He says, come to me. He says, bring your yoke to me. Bring your yoke to me. Unless you realize that you're not carrying the yoke that Jesus has handed you, please go back to him. Come to him and he will give you a yoke that you can handle. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And go back on the other slides. Bearing a yoke with an end to learning is better than walking free and naked, not empty handed. I wrote. You see, bearing a yoke, like I said, Liam was crying this morning because he couldn't figure out a toy. I could have easily fixed the whole toy. You know what? Put it together and gave it to him and denied him an opportunity to learn a lesson, to learn how to figure it out by himself. But you see, I chose to tell him, dude, you fix it, figure it out. Because, you know, in figuring it out, he gets to understand. In figuring out, he gets a lesson. And the father knows that if he takes away everything, you will miss on the lesson. And he decides, he allows you to have these things in your life that you may be able to learn a lesson, to learn compassion. We've talked about this before. The Bible says, now unto him, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, now unto him that is a God of a father of all comfort, that he's allowed you comfort, that you may be able to comfort others. You see, without the challenges, without the things of life that will need comfort, you will never learn comfort. You will never be able to comfort. for others, you will never learn compassion. He allows you to go through things so that you can be able to learn compassion, so that you can be able to learn how to comfort other people. He says, I'm going to allow you to still have some sort of a yoke. Only that the one I'm giving you is lighter. And the reason I'm giving you, I'm letting you stay with a yoke, is so that you can be able to learn a lesson. To the next one. Sometimes I wrote there that sometimes the lesson outweighs the weight of the burden. Sometimes the lesson outweighs the weight of the burden. Sometimes God measuring against, you see, he's like, if I let him have this burden, it will help him to carry 3 burdens in the future. Then if I let him go free now, and in the future the 3 burdens will bog him down. He says, I'm going to allow you to have this one lighter yoke, that I'm going to allow you to hold on to this yoke, because when you learn the lesson from this yoke, you will be able to handle the challenges that are coming in your tomorrow. Sometimes the weight of the burden of the yoke is more important. The lesson that you will learn from bearing that yoke is more important than if you did not have a yoke to carry at all. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. We read this morning, it should be Galatians chapter number 5. I had people quote it. I had it the first thing when I woke up in the morning in my bed. My wife read it to me, and then Daddy read it here and repeated it twice. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, let's just look it up so that I don't quote it wrong. Galatians chapter number 5. When you get there, you just read it for us. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
He says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. He says it's for salvation that he has set us free, that Christ has set us free so we can have freedom. He says, do not again continue bearing a yoke of slavery. Do not continue bearing a yoke of slavery. He says, I can give you a better yoke. You cannot keep doing something over and over, falling in the same mud like a pig and jumping and turning around in it and making yourself dirty over and over. He says, I have got salvation that I've given you. I have a yoke that is lighter. You have to stop bearing the yoke of slavery. You have to stop bearing this thing that bogs you down, and allow me to give you something that is lighter, something that is custom made for you. In the Bible, there is 2 people. It's a very, very interesting story. And I chose to call it the Tale of 2 Daughters. The book of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I'm going to read from verse number 21. When you get there, say amen. Mark chapter number 5. From verse 21 to 42. Verse number 21, the Bible says, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore, selling seashells. Kidding.
I was like, wait, why does it say that? Don't do that to me.
One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up on seeing him, fell at his feet, and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. So Jesus Christ has, remember when he told his disciples, let's go to the other side. And so he went there, healed this man that was possessed with demons. And then the Bible says he gets into a boat and he comes back. When he comes back now to the Jewish nation, remember the last time we learned that when he went over to the other side, he found pigs, which means that other side was a territory that was not necessarily owned or not necessarily a Jewish region. He has come back to the Jewish region. He's come back home pretty much like I came back this morning. And so he's come back, and when he comes back, the Bible says that so many people at the seashore are waiting for him. So he hangs out with them. And then the Bible says that there is a person, his name is Jairus, and he's a leader of the synagogue, and his daughter is very, very sick. So Jairus comes to him and says, Master, listen, he implores him. Bible says that he falls down and he says to him, Daddy, I want you to come to my house. Come and pray for my daughter that maybe she will live. This is a father imploring Jesus Christ, asking, praying for his daughter. Remember the title up here was The Tale of Two Daughters. This is a father that has got a desire in his heart for the healing and salvation of her daughter. He says, my daughter is very sick. Please come with me. Come with me to my house that you may be able to pray over my daughter. Maybe, just maybe, my daughter will live. The Bible says, Jesus says, okay, let's go. So as they start walking, the Bible says that there's many, many people that are touching him, that are around him, that are surrounding him. Sorry. A woman, verse number 25, who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, this is the most powerful part, he calls her daughter. Says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. They began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother, his own companions, and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl got up to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. I'm going to close my Bible so that it feels like I'm finishing. The Bible says that there is somebody who is a leader of the synagogue. His name is Jairus. Jairus comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter, underline the word daughter, she is very, very sick. She needs your help. Come and help her. And Jesus says, okay, your blood is. He says, let's go. Let's go see your daughter. But as they are going, as they are traveling, Jesus suddenly stops and he says, somebody touched me. I can imagine what is going on in the head of Jairus. Have you ever wanted to go somewhere immediately when your child is sick? And then there is traffic jam on the road. And somebody just called you and said, your daughter is not feeling well. And there is all this anxiety. And then Jesus Christ is supposed to be coming. And Jairus is wishing there was a means of faster transportation so Jesus can be able to reach his house. But then Jesus suddenly stops. And he goes, somebody touched me. And I'm thinking, if I'm Jairus, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Seriously? My daughter is sick. But you see, there is something that can stop a father from attending to another father. Don't miss it. You see, this is a father. Jairus is a father. But then Jesus Christ is a father too.
Amen.
That is why I say you can never outpray Jesus for when he's loved someone. When you're praying, I want my wife to live and not to die. I want them to live. I want them around in this realm. And Jesus Christ is praying, I want my daughter home. You can never outpray him. That is why when people go to be with the Lord, we are like, you know what, man, you win. You love them more than we do. He will always outpray you. And he does that in this. He says, somebody touched me. There is this woman, the Bible says, that had been suffering for 12 years, bleeding for 12 years. Now, to put it in perspective for you, according to Levitical law, if you were bleeding in any way, you were unclean. Which means you were not supposed to associate, touch, or relate with anyone. Which means this woman had not related to her own husband for the last 12 years, had never touched her children for the whole last 12 years, had never had a relationship that was meaningful, that was purposeful for 12 years. This woman had got a yoke. She was carrying a yoke, a burden, for 12 good years, bleeding consistently. Being unclean meant that if she was to be seen, relating, touching, associating, talking to, being anywhere close people, it would make everybody unclean. Which means if you're passing and then you know that she's bleeding and then you touch her accidentally, you turn automatically into an unclean person, and it took you 3 days to become clean again. Which means you would also go in seclusion for 3 days. It was completely illegal for this woman to be in public. Because in public meant she was going to make everybody unclean, and the reward for that would be to be stoned to death. This woman was not only sick, she was not only going through this process of bleeding, she was also ostracized. She did not have any social life, any social being. She did not have anyone or anything. The Bible also says that the other thing, that she had gone to every doctor available. She had gone to every doctor hoping to get help, and there was nothing. No one could ever help this woman. The third thing with this woman, she is not only a woman, number one, in Israel, which means she was, just by being a woman, it was a stigma. Because like we say, the Jewish men would wake up and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a woman and I'm not a dog.
she's a woman, she's unclean, she doesn't have any social life. The Bible says every doctor she'd gone to had not helped. Then the Bible says she had spent everything that she had. Which means this was a broke person, broken, messed up, and you know, with a history. She had a record. Everywhere she would go to be employed, somebody saying, nope, we checked your background and your record says you cannot be employed here. Sometimes we have got these things in our lives that have come over the period of years that sometimes affect our current situation. We cannot do anything in the now. You see, that because of some mistakes I made as a teenager, I cannot be able to survive in a society today. Talk to Kavanaugh. This Supreme Court justice that apparently when he was a teenager in high school, he tries to molest a girl. And now he's almost going to this job, the job for his life, you know, the job that anybody dreams for. Because you can't be fired, you only have to die to get out of this chair. And he's just about to get it, and then something says, you know what, your past has come knocking. This woman could have been anyone, but because of her issues, because of her story, because of her backstory, something was not ever clicking. The Bible says, and she talks to herself, she says, I am going to touch him. I'm going to touch that guy. Remember, we've talked about what happens when she touches anyone. Automatically she changes that person she touched into unclean. This woman was really risking her life. She was risking her life. She knew, if only I get discovered that I've touched somebody and I am unclean, I am going to be killed. But she said, I am going because I know that the yoke he will give me, it doesn't matter even if it's death, it is going to be lighter than the yoke I'm carrying. It is time for us to arise and say, I'm going to go to Jesus. It doesn't matter what it costs me. I'm going to go because I know that whatever he gives me will be better than what I have.
Amen.
She says, I'm going to go touch him. And so she goes, and the Bible says that she touches him. And Jesus stops. You know, she was hoping, and I'm sure that if she was anything like me, she was thinking, you know, I'm going to touch him, and then I'm going to hide in the crowds, and nobody will ever know that I touched him. But you see, Jesus stops and says, somebody touched me. And everybody says, everybody's touching you. And he says, no. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. May that be you today. May you be the person that Jesus stops and say, no, I know there were many people at Rema today, but somebody ministered to me. Somebody touched me. It was impactful for me that they touched me.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says, turns around. This woman is shaking. Because you see, this is defining for her. She knows now the next command will be, stone her. She knows she's unclean. But you know what Jesus says? He turns and says, daughter. He calls her my daughter. Jairus has a daughter. Jesus has a daughter too. He says, daughter. Listen to me. The world system may reject you because of your history. They may reject you because of the burden that you're carrying. They may reject you because of the situation that you're in currently. They may reject you. Maybe you have spent everything that you had. Maybe you have done and outdone yourself trying to get help from the world system. It shall not do anything for you. But you see, when you show up before the creator of the universe, before Jesus Christ himself, and when you totally surrender to him and say, I am giving up my life, I am giving up my freedom. I'm giving up everything that I may get what he has, the yoke that he has, because he's his lighter. When Jesus Christ turns and faces you, he's going to say, daughter. He's going to say, son. He's going to call you his very own. Jesus changes the status of this woman, unclean, dejected, refused, broken, and he says, I know, I'm changing your status into a princess, because you see, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he says, you are my daughter.
Amen.
He says, because you've chosen to come, I'm going to change your story. I am going to make you a princess. I'm going to make you a prince because you came. Jesus can change your status instantaneously. He says, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, come to me and I will give you rest to your souls. Which means it's not rest physically, it is rest emotionally, physically, mentally. He gives you wholeness.
Amen.
He says, I'll give you rest to your core.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come to me. Someone came to Jesus and Jesus changed her status. Says to her, you've been made whole. And for the very first time in Israel, a person who is unclean touches a clean person. And instead of the clean person being unclean, the unclean person becomes clean. Because you see, if you touch an unclean person, if you touch as much as their clothing, you had to burn your clothes because they had turned unclean. But here is a person who touched and instantaneously got transformed. I'm not going to go here, but I'm going to go. I'm not going to go into the depth here, but you see, back then, the robe of the high priests or the rabbis. It was made, and I think Gabe brought this up in the Bible study. It was made with a pomegranate and a bell. The edge of that cloth and all the stripes that came out down from that, there were 635, which were the laws of Moses, which was the scripture. Don't miss this. You know what this woman touched?
The word.
The word.
Mm.
Remember, we've said that the word, the Bible is not contained in the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. Your freedom is in you becoming a student of this word of God and grasping onto the word of God and saying, Lord, my healing is in here, my restoration is in here, my victory is in here, my liberty is in the word. I am going to rely on, I'm going to trust in, I'm going to push for, because I know that this is your word.
Amen.
So woman goes for the word. He says, I'm going to touch the word. I'm going to touch the Lord. I'm going to touch the word of God. And as she does, she's ministered to. She's changed. She's healed. She's transformed. Bible says that she realizes what's happened to her because the bleeding has suddenly stopped.
Amen.
We are all adults in the room. And that day of the month, it's never nice. It's gross, and people are grouchy. This woman had been through that for 12 years. You just have that like a week or so. 3 days at most. This woman had been going through that for 12 years. 12 years. Jesus Christ ministered to her. The word of God transformed her. It changed her life like that. And there's another daughter, another father in the story. His name is Jairus. And immediately after Jesus finishes this conversation with this woman, there are people that come from the house of Jairus. And they say, you know what? Stop bothering him. The baby is gone. He's dead. There is something, and I know your Bible. I know NIV puts this very beautifully. It says when they say those words, Jesus ignores them.
Okay.
when they say, don't bother coming, Jesus ignores what they are saying. And then he turns attention to the Father. And he says, don't worry, just believe. Listen, there is time for us to start ignoring all the negativity around us and saying, I'm going to believe, I'm going to listen to the voice of truth. You see, the Father is still confused. His people are saying, my daughter is dead. Dead means dead. It means gone. It means there is no hope. At least for Jairus in his head, it is done. In fact, they say, don't bother him anymore. We are just wasting his time. He says, don't worry. Just believe. He ignores these people. Sometimes it's very important for us to ignore some people. It is very important for us to ignore the words that come out of the mouths of some people that are negative, that are not in line with the word of God, that are not in line with what the Lord has promised you, that are not in line with what the Lord is able and capable of doing. You see, sometimes we get so bogged down because, you know what, but everybody doesn't think that way. Yeah, that's okay. It's my faith. Jesus says to this woman, your faith has made you well. He is going to say to you, your faith is what's going to move you through this. It's what is going to carry you through this. He says, only believe. Only have faith. Have faith in me. He ignores these people and he continues going. Gets to the house of this man. I'm really summarizing because the time. We can continue. We can do this again. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of lessons to be learned here. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ goes to the house of this man and he finds all them professional mourners. The reason I know they're professional mourners is because when he says, why are we wailing? Why are we crying? And they all crack up. They all start laughing. This one, their crying wasn't genuine. When you're crying, I don't know if you've ever cried before, but it's not like... The Bible says that he says this and they start laughing. They did not even have the compassion. They did not even feel the pain of losing this girl. They were just acting. Actors. Acting out. Acting sorrow. Then Jesus makes a decision. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. It says, he told everybody, get up. Get up. He told everybody, listen, up and leave. Because you see, sometimes we have got a company of people that do not support whatever it is that we have. We have an audience that is going to discourage us by the things that they are going to say about our lives, by the words that they are going to say. They are going to just pull us behind by everything that they think is right, and they are going to open their mouths and they are going to laugh at our faith statements. They are going to laugh at... Jesus is saying the child is just sleeping because it's by faith. He knows the baby is sleeping, but they know he's dead. They start laughing. He says, get out. Sometimes we just have to tell people, you know what? Get out of my life. Unfriend them on Facebook. I'm not joking. Click unfriend. I have learned something in Facebook. You can actually just stop following them. Unfriend them. Just tell them, I am not your friend anymore. Get out. Jesus says to these people, out of the room, and then he says, I am only going to go in there with three people. Why these three? Because these three are a people that are in agreement. Sometimes on our journey, if we are going to take on the yoke that Jesus gives, you know, have you ever been in trouble and people are like, you know what, why don't you just give up and die? The wife of Job told him that. Then your church is dwindling. Man, you've been preaching to the same faces, the same people for 5 weeks. What is going on? Nobody new is coming. The church is not growing. You need to just quit this. And I'm like, get out.